The there here is referred to as dirt on Hillary by apologists for her who are pole vaulting over the Podesta emails on primary theft and axe murdering child rapists of the NATO, Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, ISIS's 40,000 death squad headmen, openly funded by the boss of the ex, that's Huma Abedin, of felonious child predator Wiener, who got a pass for weeks by the FBI gang, now covering up for themselves Russian judgment. There's no doubt that Skripal was feeding secrets to MI6 at the time that Christopher Steele was an MI6 officer in Moscow, and at the time that Pablo Miller, another member of Orbis Intelligence, was also an MI6 officer in Russia and directly recruiting agents. It is widely reported on the web and in U.S. media that it was Miller who first recruited Skripal. My own ex-MI6 sources tell me that it is not quite true that as Skripal was walk-in, but that Miller certainly was involved in running Skripal for a while. Sadly, Pablo Miller's LinkedIn profile has recently been deleted, but it is again widely alleged on the web that it showed him as a consultant for Orbis Intelligence and a consultant to the FCO, and wait for it, with an address in Salisbury. If anyone can recover that LinkedIn entry, do get in touch, though British government agencies will have been active on the in the internet scrubbing. This is craigmurray.org.uk/archives 2018-3 Russian judgment. It was, of course, Christopher Steele and Orbis Intelligence who produced for the Clinton camp the sensational dossier on Trump links with Russia, including the story of Trump paying to be urinated on by Russian prostitutes. That is a key part of the Russiagate affair gripping the U.S. political classes. The extraordinary thing about this is that the Orbis dossier is obvious nonsense, which anybody with a professional background can completely demolish, as I did here, and there's a little link. Steele's motive was, like Skripal's, in selling his secrets, cash, pure and simple. Steele is a charlatan who knocked up a series of allegations that are either widely improbable or would need a high-level source access he could not possibly get in today's Russia, or both. He told the Democrats what they wished to hear, and his audience, who had and still have no motivations to look at it critically, paid him highly for it. So here's
the supreme leader of Iran, the Ayatollah Khamenei, talking about how the empire created ISIS to serve Zionist and imperialist objectives, which is the truth, but it's not often that you hear the top leader in a major country saying that.
Just to see this even reporting of the statements and, you know, articulated evidence-backed claims of the Iranian leadership in Newsweek, of all places, is very interesting to me.
A couple of the things he said that really got me was this magic bullet that turned left and turned right and struck Connally and Kennedy, and how could it do that and end up in this pristine shape that it was in. And you actually have photographs of the bullet and diagrams and all this in Reclaiming History. So maybe you could just break that down.
Well, Mark Twain is the granddaddy of all conspiracy theorists. He has no credibility whatsoever.
In 2003, a Gallup poll said that 75% of Americans believed that there was a conspiracy behind Kennedy's assassination. So since his assassination in 63, the numbers have grown tremendously in terms of those who do believe there's a conspiracy.
Okay, Andrea, you've asked several good questions, all of which are going to take a certain amount of time. And at my age, when you ask three questions, I hear the last one, I forget the first one. Anyway, let me ask.
What did the Warren Commission do wrong?
Okay, I'm an extremely critical person, Andrea. I mean, I find fault with a beautiful morning sunrise. 21 murder cases as a prosecutor. When I tell you that the Warren Commission did one heck of a job, I think that they should have a certain credibility.
Yeah, it makes you kind of wonder what's going on. Do they think that this claim sounds so bizarre that people will just reject it out of hand? Because normally they write these things up with a lot more spin. So yeah, it's an interesting thing to speculate about. Well, let's get on to the Mueller and Trump and Kosher Nostra, all that craziness, Black Cube, Cambridge Analytica, Facebook. Wow, we had another interesting week with this whistleblower speaking out about it. And Gordon Duff adding a preface to this story saying that dozens of agents came to the U.S. to rig the presidential election and put Trump in power. So, wow. Do you think that could that be true? And if that's true, could that ever actually come out?
Well, I'd like to see more reporting on that from Veteran Sadeh and Gordon Duff about what they know, because this does speak in the direction that we've been, you know, conversing a little bit. Even Alan's been like really like coming to this idea that like maybe there are maybe Israel really did potentially hack this election very directly. And more evidence is heading in that direction. And more of the world is waking up to it. And you have Black Cube, Israeli intelligence used to intimidate Harvey Weinstein's victims and get information and undermine their legal process, involved even with Cambridge Analytica. And I've pointed out before that this, I believe, is a Jewish-Iranian billionaire, Vincent Cenghuis, lies in the background of the beginnings of both Cambridge Analytica and its parent company, SEL, and also a relationship with using Black Cube in England. So how deep this goes, I ran into a chapter in Christopher Bolin's book about articles where he was reporting on an Israeli-connected company that was managing the Iowa caucus back in 2004, and none of that's ever been disputed. So I think that the evidentiary trail that we know goes through people like Mike Connell Grove's IT guru, who was an evangelical Christian and was basically a part of this election hacking all over in terms of probably 2000 and 2004, and then was taken out in a wet works operation in a private plane crash right before he was about to tell what he knew.
So this notion that countries might actually interfere in other countries' election campaigns, that occasionally has been known to happen. And this
but you can't talk on the mouse report about influencing a black bloc fracked 3/5 placebo. No, that's it's stupid to talk about agency on the part of either the politicians or the voters under a placebo voting system like we've got. So
these might be horrific examples. We also have this article in the Intrepid report from Wayne Madsen about the Israeli intelligence penetration of the Trump campaign and administration. Some say that that's the real issue. It's not Russiagate, it's Israelgate.
Oh, one quick point on this article that I noticed that I hadn't seen before is that it alleges that not only is there this compromised financier who is deep within the Republican Jewish Committee, I think it's called, which is a key player in the backing of Trump, but then also that apparently Kushner was supplying bin Salman in Saudi Arabia actual high-level intelligence that he had gotten access to in terms of helping Salman target the princes that were actually for detente with Iran and were against further attacking Qatar. And so this is also potentially sedition and potentially treason too.
But back to the Salisbury Hill of BS. Last week's show, the problem with double agents like Skripal who give intelligence for money is that they can easily become triple agents, and you never know when a better offer is going to come along. When Steele produced his dodgy dossier, he had no idea it would ever become so prominent and subject to so much scrutiny. Steele is fortunate U.S. establishment is strongly motivated not to scrutinize his work closely, as their one aim is to get Trump. But with stakes very high, having a very loose cannon as one of the dossier's authors might be most inconvenient, both for Orbis and for the Clinton camp. If I was the police, I would look closely at Orbis intelligence. To return to Israel, Israel has the nerve agents. Israel has Mossad, which is extremely skilled at foreign assassinations. Theresa May claimed Russian propensity to assassinate abroad as a specific reason to believe Russia did it. Well, Mossad has an even greater propensity to assassinate abroad. And while I am struggling to see a Russian motive for damaging its own international reputation so grievously, Israel has a clear motivation for damaging the Russian reputation so grievously. Russian action in Syria has undermined the Israeli position in Syria and Lebanon in a fundamental way, and Israel has every motive for damaging Russia's international position by an attack aiming to leave the blame on Russia. Now, this is a DJ Mouse aside from my last Salisbury Hill of BS. I doubted it was a state actor because it didn't kill them. So if there's some individual operating within this, it's like the Manchester attack 1 year after the Wahhab murder, for which there was no justice. Well, Toonworth was the name of the father of the guy who said, "Forgive me," before that. Okay, it's the Son of Toonworth operation that's going on. And you see all these clues. And this guy, the smoking gun is in the hand of the guy saying, "Did anybody see anything?" And of course, when you wake up looking down the barrel of a gun, you lie and say friend to the friend or foe question, because nobody who's pointing a gun at you would be a friend. Russian action in Syria has undermined the Israeli position in Syria and Lebanon in a fundamental way, and Israel has every motive for damaging Russia's international position by an attack aiming to leave the blame on Russia. Both Orbis and Israeli theories are speculations, but they are no more a speculation and no more a conspiracy theory than the idea of Vladimir Putin secretly sent agents to Salisbury to attack Skripal with a secret nerve agent. I can see absolutely no reason to believe there is more valid speculation than the others at this point. I am alarmed by the security spying armaments industry's frenetic efforts to stoke Russophobia and heat up the new Cold War. I'm especially alarmed at the stream of Cold War warrior experts, in quotes, dominating the news cycles. I write as someone who believes that agents of the Russian state did assassinate Litvinenko and that the Russian security services carried out at least some of the apartment bombings that provided the pretext for the brutal assault on Chechnya. I believe the Russian occupation of Crimea and parts of Georgia is illegal. Oh, well, that's Craig Miller. That's not DJ Mouse. On the other hand, in Syria, Russia has saved the Middle East from domination by a new wave of U.S. and Saudi-sponsored extreme jihadists. The naive view of the world as goodies and baddies with our own ruling class as the good guys is for the birds. I witnessed personally in Uzbekistan the willingness of the UK and US security services to accept and validate intelligence they knew to be false in order to pursue their policy objectives. We should be extremely skeptical of their current anti-Russian narrative. There are many possible suspects in this attack. Thank you, Craig Murray, from his blog. And back to
believe that there was a conspiracy. But 2003 said that this book persuasively says that it's beyond all doubt that Lee Harvey Oswald murdered President Kennedy, and beyond a reasonable doubt that Oswald acted alone. And there are so many theories. There's a Cuban connection. There's a mafia connection. There's, you know, various connections. But what about a couple of things? I remember seeing Mark Lane in high school. He came to my high school and talked, and we were all just like enwrapped by this guy because he had charts and diagrams, and he's one of the main conspiracy theorists out there. And a couple of the things he said that really got me was this magic bullet that turned left and turned right and struck Conley.
And this man did not turn a blind eye to evil doing. Now we stand here today demanding Nancy O'Malley for justice for Charlene Tindall. This is going to be the first time Nancy O'Malley ignored the misconduct of law enforcement in connection with the sex trafficking scandal dating back from September 2016. O'Malley stated that she intended on prosecuting the seven and former police officers, but coincidentally, the officers had their cases dropped or sit home comfortably on probation with no jail time. Even with Nancy O'Malley's 82% conviction rate, she lacks the moral and just duty to protect all people, even from the ones who have sworn to protect the public. Nancy O'Malley took $10,000 from the police union in which she was actively investigating an officer-involved shooting. It has been historically shown that our people, our colored people, were thought to be worth less than cattle. However, Ms. Nancy O'Malley recently raised that price. Nancy O'Malley, the family of Charlene Tindall are working hard to seek justice for his murder. It is now time to do the same. Thank you. Yeah.
That we're supposed to go, just to be heard, right? Everything came with a fight. Like, nothing was done in this whole process because it was the right thing to do. Nothing. Everything has been a fight. And I just think it's time to take this fight to the streets. It's enough now. There's two ways to fight this fight. There's actually more. Yeah, they don't respect nothing but money and violence. And it's enough. Like, now I think that the protest, it has to escalate.
And so, that the video was revealed when the shooter was a total lie. No, the rule of engagement in the war is that a soldier cannot shoot a civilian in Afghanistan if he has an AK in his hand. He cannot shoot him. Unless it is pointed. Now, looking at that video, it is a total opposite. My brother was on his back. He was with his children, which the media decided not to say because they wanted to make it as if he was a lone gunner. You know, so he was with his children with grocery bags and his fiance. So, you know, my brother was murdered. And as my auntie mentioned, you know, we are a peaceful people, but after a while, we have to do what you have to do. And if we got to shut them down, if we got to shut the streets down, we got to shut a gang down, we going to shut them down. And we appreciate everybody's support, white, black, brown, Chinese. We appreciate all y'all out here. Because me and my family has always been about the people. And the people don't mean just our people. It means the people, any people, humanity. And we appreciate everyone that's out here and standing for us. And we want you to ride for us just like you would ride for y'all.
So real time, we're going to do this, y'all.
Appreciate everybody coming through, supporting my family. Thank y'all for your love, and love is an action word, which I see. I'm getting love out here. Y'all showing your action by being here, and I appreciate everybody for coming and being our support. But we got to turn this thing up. They think they just about to think they about to forget about this. We ain't about to make this forget. We got the Bay community on CNN, and they see what's going on in the Bay Area. You know, they try to make it like my brother was the villain, which the police was the villain. They made the so it kind of slowed us down. But we got to pick up this Maldonado. That's what we got to do. And we got to
I'm the president a month to give the information to my sister who is our friend. Now I'm thankful for Martha. Yeah. I appreciate you, Martha.
I
would not want this to happen to any mother. But it's so many mothers that have gone through this. You know, the blood that drains from their body into Mother Earth, where there's time for a cleansing. You know, it's a time for a cleansing. And it's time for them to be held accountable and for also to hold them accountable. You know, when we talk about the Bible, and I have to mention the Bible because everybody reads it. When they talk about Cain and Abel, and Cain killed his brother, well, it literally means his blood brother, it meant his brother. But it said, Cain, if you do well, your offering will be accepted. Meaning that unmerited favor has been given, but if you do well, your offer will be accepted. But if not, the beast is crossing at your door. And we see it with these police officers. The beast is crossing at their door. And I tell each of you to be careful. Especially Hispanic people, Mexicans, African Americans. No matter what race you are, even Caucasians, they're killing everybody at random, but mainly the African-American children. I tell you to be careful about how you move your hand. I see this young man on Facebook. He told him to crawl. Told him to crawl to me. You crawl to me and don't make a move. And he was pleading for his life. And he was shot anyway.
Now, my name is Tatiana Eaton, and I'm the cousin of Charlene Kendall. Now, I don't know how many of you saw the video of Charlene Kendall's murder, but Officer Joseph Matu cowardly shot Charlene in the back 3 times while she was kneeling on the ground with both hands in the air. He shot Charlene immediately after he instructed him to raise his hand. And then they wonder why many people, especially people of color, do not trust law enforcement. It is clear in the video that Charlene had his back turned with both hands in the air on the ground, complying to the officer. Now, under U.S. law, the fleeing felon rule permits the use of force, including deadly force, against an individual who is suspected of a felony and is in clear flight.
Action camera to the DA's office last night.
Yeah. And a murder case, along with the Prime Minister and the Queen of England, who was eyewitness. Hello?
Yep. I think Roger's stumped.
Did I say come to the radio meeting this Thursday at Long Hall? It's the first and third Thursday every month, 3124 Shattuck Avenue, 7:30. And you can be in the driver's seat here.
So.
One of them.